been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened. Borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. Let come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's precious Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen. Good Sunday morning to you. Appreciate you tuning in, listening to the program once again. And we thank God for this new year that's upon us. We appreciate you listening on this first day of the year, 2012. We look forward to what God has in store for us. This past year, we look back on the blessings and look back on the trials and what the Lord's done to bring us closer to Him. And we can just give Him praise and glory for all that's done, and we can learn from the ups and downs, and we pray that God would help us do that. We look with anticipation to this new year. We preached many years ago about an empty calendar. We got a calendar we didn't fill up with some good things of the Lord and doing something for Him and not missing those opportunities that maybe we missed in the years past. But I pray God would help us to do that. We appreciate you tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that first song. That's by the Victorious Valley Girls Home, and we're going to play some of their songs for the next few weeks, and we hope that's a blessing to you. We thank God for all the different missionary works and all the different children's homes, and we know there's a lot out there doing a great work for the Lord, and we pray that God just continue to bless them and send folks by their way that they can point to the cross. And we hope that the message and the song is always a blessing and encouragement to you. We invite you to come and be with us at Gospel Way. Our church is located at 3904 Tryon Courthouse Road, Cherryville. We're just outside of the city limits and Highway 274. And Bible school is at 10 o'clock and preaching at 11. Then back on Sunday night at 6. And then on Wednesday night at 7, we have a prayer and Bible study. And we just look forward to God meeting with us and doing that needs to be done in our hearts and our lives. Well, we do thank God for that first song, and we'll go to another song by the Victorious Valley Home Girls, and we hope that's a blessing. But we also go to a message that we preached a few weeks ago at the church entitled The Lord Himself, and we kind of looked at where the Bible talks to us about Him coming the first time and prophesied His coming in the book of Isaiah, and but also He's coming again the second time, and we can see the prophecy of both of those in the Old Testament and as well as the New Testament. We look forward to the Lord coming back to rapture his church out of here. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And we do look for his soon return. He may come. He didn't come in 2011, but he may come in 2012. We anticipate the Lord to come in any moment. And we hope if you're not right with the Lord that you would come and to know him as personal Savior this year. This would be the time that you'd come and draw close to the Lord.
Called Loaded Bar lived a young man who was crippled from a fall. His name was Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. He was trying to survive. Since Jonathan and Saul were slain, it seemed all was in vain, and each lonely night was spent in fear of what another day would bring. But one day King David said, there is one thing I'd like to do. Is there one of the house of Saul, someone I could show my kindness to? David said, go and find him and bring him this message from the king. Living in Lodibar, where there's no comfort for a troubled soul, just a place full of broken hearts, never knowing what the future holds. But now that I've met the King, there's no someone came and knocked upon my door with this message from the King. Mephibosheth, forever put your fears to rest. Come and be my table guest. To you I'll be a father, and my son you'll always be. Mephibosheth cried, oh, how can this be, that a king could ever love someone like me?
I rejoice when I recall the day I watched those bridges burn, when I said goodbye to Lodibar, never to return.
Mephibosheth,
There was some confusion in that day, and I believe the Lord, of course, tried to make it clear to disciples, and I think that everything, of course, cleared up after the resurrection, and then after His ascension, of course, and we find them, you know, preaching the Word of God and proclaiming the message clearly, but there was a lot of times that they looked at different prophecies of the Lord coming, and maybe they confused the two returns of the Lord, of Him coming as the Messiah and then later as Him coming as King of Kings. And of course, He was able to come 2,000 years ago and take that lineage of David and that lineage to the throne, praise God, and be in line with the Messianic line just as He was. But He's coming back again. Oh, yeah. Now, as they looked at those different passages of Scripture, in fact, let me give you an example. If you look over in chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, there are things that are in those verses there in verse 6 and 7 that was not fulfilled 2,000 years ago and will be fulfilled. Although He is, praise God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords before He came the first time. Amen. He's, amen. It wasn't an afterthought or anything, and it's not an afterthought of Him coming back. It's all in the plan of God. Praise the Lord, and we can look forward to God fulfilling His plan just as He will. But the Bible says there in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end." See, the beginning is 2,000 years ago, but He's still going to come back again, praise God, and literally sit on the throne of David, hallelujah. Scripture goes on to say, there'll be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, and from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Praise God. He's going to finish what He started. Amen? Amen. Amen. And but I want you to look at a phrase there in chapter 7. And we're going to try to put all this together and tie it together as we look at this. But look at the there in chapter 7 and verse 14. I want you to notice that it starts off there and it says, therefore. And you remember I told you before, you know, it's there. You see the word therefore, we need to find out what it's there for. Amen. The verse before that, talks about some things we'll look at here in a minute, maybe about the long suffering of the Lord. But then it says, therefore the Lord Himself, amen, shall give you a sign. The Lord Himself. Amen. Ain't that good? I mean, He said, I'm not going to send another. That's right. Amen. Nobody else is going to take my place. Woo! Nobody else can take God's place. And talk about songs. I mean, I know what they're trying to convey in that song, but there's a song that said one time about there was a search all over heaven. There never was a search all over heaven who was worthy to go. No, amen. Amen. The Lord's been the only one. Amen. From the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, He's as a Lamb of God that's been slain before the foundation of the world. So there wasn't no question in the mind of God of who would go. But anyhow, we find here the Bible says the Lord Himself, He's the one that came and He's the one that's coming back again. He's not going to send another, the Lord Himself. Now there was a forerunner 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the message. He prepared the way. Amen. Before the Lord comes again, there's many Christians are out now preparing the way. That's what the churches are doing, praise God. We're telling the message of Jesus Christ and pointing to the soon return of the Lord, pointing back to He came and now He's coming again. And praise God, if there's anybody preparing the way, it'll be Gabriel when he blows the horn. Amen. And the Lord Himself is going to come back again, ain't He? Ain't that what the Scripture says? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Amen. The Lord Himself, amen, shall descend from heaven with the voice, or with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ arise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Just as 2,000 years ago, Isaiah looked forward to the Lord coming the first time, and he said, the Lord Himself will send you a sign. The Lord Himself will come. Hey, we can look forward to the second advent. The Lord Himself will come out of heaven. The Lord Himself will come with a shout and come to rapture His church out of here. Amen. What a day. Praise God. Just sung on the just played on as an instrumental. What a day that'll be, amen, when the Lord Himself steps out of heaven. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Lord Himself for a few moments, all right? Amen. I want you to recognize about three things here about the Lord Himself. We can recognize three things that are familiar to us as we look at the first advent, but also familiar to us as we look toward the second advent. As we look to the Lord that He's already come, and that He's coming again, praise God. I like what I heard a preacher say this morning on television. I don't always like what I hear a preacher say on television. Let me throw that in there right now. But I did like what I heard this morning, one preacher say. He said, you're talking and witnessing to Jewish friends and everything. He said, I mean, I tell them, praise God, you are just being, it's as if I'm trying to introduce you to your religion. Amen. It says I'm trying to, because I'm telling you about the Messiah. Amen. Amen. He's already come. Praise God. He's already come. And you need to recognize that. That's all you need to do. He came just right in line with everything in the Old Testament. He came and He didn't break the law at one time. He came and fulfilled the law. We need to see that and realize that. But if you do realize that, you can get saved, praise God. You can get saved in this church age and come to know the Lord. And then what do? You anticipate Him coming again. You accept the Lord Himself. And now you look for the Lord Himself to come. Let me give you a few things we can recognize here. First of all, let me say we can recognize the long-suffering of the Lord. As we think about Him coming in the manger, as we think about Him coming to get us, to call His church home. Hey, the Bible tells us here in this passage back in verse 13. I want you to recognize this. He says, O house of David, it's a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God? Also, so it's a small thing. It's easy for men to be weary. It's easy for folks to not suffer long with people. It's easy for people to lose their patience. But will you also go past the patience of God? Will you also go past the long-suffering of God? I want to say the Bible teaches us that God is long-suffering to us. God suffers long with us. God gives us chance after chance. God gives us opportunity after opportunity. Praise God, we serve a patient and a loving God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us there, Hey, listen, the Lord's not, he's going to prepare His way. He's going to come. That's what He's trying to say there in Isaiah. He's going to come. There may be, and there was, a time that we call the silent years. There was a time there wasn't no prophet of speaking and a preaching. There were some, no doubt, passing on the stories and still living for God and looking for the Messiah to come, but there wasn't no prophet that stood on the scene. There wasn't no message that was proclaimed. There wasn't no word that was written for 400 years. But then the Lord breaks the silence. Amen. He suffered long with mankind. He gives them an opportunity. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Right on time the Lord came. Right on time He sent brought Himself and condescended to mankind, and chose Mary, and praise be unto God. Here the Lord is conceived. Here the Lord is found. Hey, he had suffered long with mankind, and now he's opened up a way of salvation. Now the message is proclaimed on the hillside. Now the message is proclaimed to whosoever will. Oh, what a blessing. The long-suffering of God, many would have thought and many would have had in their mind, and some did, an idea that, you know, boy, this is just for us. Amen. I'm of the seed of Abraham. The Lord said, I'm opening up a way of salvation to whosoever will. I'm going to open up a way to say, that's the reason they were called from the hillside of Judea. Those shepherd boys were brought in there. That's the reason there were kings of the east that were brought in there. Hey, God didn't want to leave nobody out. An announcement was made and the gifts were presented and they looked at the Savior. They looked at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and many were confused. What in the world is this all about? Hey, God has been long-suffering to mankind to open up a way of salvation to this world. What a blessing. Hey, and now here we are today, 2,000 plus years down the road, and the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the next verse starts out? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Lord, we're in that long-suffering period. Boy, hey, the Lord Himself is long-suffering. The Lord Himself is, hey, He didn't give up on mankind. He didn't give up on the Jewish race. He didn't give up on the world. He came to this world, and joy, praise God, came to this world in salvation of Jesus Christ. Hey, and what a blessing for us to realize these many days the Lord's been saying, hey, come to me, come to me. I'm long-suffering. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I mean, folks would say, oh, how can a loving God send folks to hell? It's not necessary that He sends them. They refuse Jesus Christ. They reject Him, and they therefore send their self to a devil's hell. They go an uninvited guest into hell. The Lord's long-suffering with them. The Lord's not willing that any should perish. He wants whosoever will to come to salvation and get saved. Now I know there's that crowd that believes there's some that are predestined to heaven, some are predestined to hell. I believe that's just a lazy excuse that folks use. I believe God in His foreknowledge knows. I mean, He's not ignorant of the fact to know that everything and all that'll come unto Him. But I believe the invitation, I'll just still go to the grave believing the invitations to whosoever will come to the Lord and be saved. That ain't hard to understand. It ain't hard to comprehend that there's not a person in America, there's not a person in another country, there's not a person anywhere on the face of this earth that God doesn't love, that He did not send His Son for. He said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The long-suffering of the Lord. What a blessing to realize that the Lord Himself is long-suffering. Not only that, second of all, we see the miracle of the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse 14 that the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The Lord Himself is going to give you this miracle. The Lord Himself is going to give you the miracle of the virgin birth. This sign of the virgin birth came to the world 2,000 years ago. Oh, what a blessing when everybody thinks about this time and this season. I believe there's going to be such a missed opportunity that's brought before the children of God and brought before those that are lost, that they could have come to know Jesus Christ as opportunity after opportunity arose. During this time, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant whether this is close to the day when Christ was actually born or not. It's irrelevant whether you have a Christmas tree or whether you do all this stuff. All that's irrelevant. But if you'd tell somebody about Jesus at this time, hey, what a blessing, what a great opportunity we have. And sinners will be brought before them. it'll be brought before them. Did you not recognize me? Did you not see me in that season? And I know a lot of them could say, well, there was so much commercialism. There were so many people running and buying stuff for gifts and everything, and I didn't see you. Yeah. But thank God for the opportunities they did see Jesus in somebody. Amen. Praise God for the opportunity they did hear something about the Lord from somebody at this season, at this time. Praise God. Hey, that's the miracle that's presented. The miracle that's presented in the New Testament there is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." That's the gospel right there. It's good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe. Notice he said there, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. God has just performed a miracle. God has just brought Christ into this world without the help of man at all. Man didn't have a thing to do with it. Praise God. God with us now. Amen. God condescended to mankind now. Now we see a miracle. Praise God. The virgin birth. Mary's not the miracle. Amen. She's part of the miracle. She's not the miracle. Oh, if you'd ask her, she'd say, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." We preached about that on Wednesday night. Oh, praise God. It's all about him. He doesn't need no co-redeemer. He don't need no help. Amen. The miracle, praise God. The Lord himself is performing this miracle. The Lord himself is the gospel of God. He's come into this world. He lived a sinless life. They got there before they crucified him and they said, "I find no fault in him." You couldn't honestly find no fault in him. He amazed men. He amazed thousands of people. He made multitudes over and over again. They went away scratching their heads. They went away trying to get him before the time, and they couldn't do it. They went back and said, "Never a man spake like this man. I just don't understand it." It's a miracle. Amen. It's the miracle of the virgin birth. But not only that, as we think about the last days, the Bible tells us about some signs about the last days before the Lord's coming again. And let me say, there's a miracle involved there. There's a miracle that you need to be part of, and almost everybody in this building probably has been a part of, and that's the miracle of the new birth. Amen. We look back to the miracle of the virgin birth in order for us to have the miracle of a new birth, praise God. And the Lord's coming back, and just as sure as he said, "Wait a minute, when a virgin conceives," my goodness, that's going to be a sign. That's him. That's the Messiah. And they looked for him to come. And they didn't recognize him and accept him when he come. The Bible says in John 1:11, he came into his own and his own received him not. But praise God, I'm glad I'm over verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I got born again, praise God, and became a child of God, became a son of God. And in these last days, the Lord talked to him about not seeking after a sign. The Bible says in Matthew 12:39, it says, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. What was that? He was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And the Lord was going to be in the heart of this earth for 3 days and three nights. The sign was going to be the closing miracle of the gospel. The beginning miracle of the gospel is the virgin birth. The closing miracle of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, but later on, not with the whole crowd. I mean, when he said that, he said, "An adulterous and sinful generation seeketh after a sign." And the sign, the Jews seek after a sign, but the church is signless and timeless. But anyhow, later on, he did talk to them about a sign. But it wasn't the multitudes he talked to, it was just his disciples. He did over there. Matthew chapter 24.